Greetings and welcome in. It's Better's Last Stand, show number 142, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling, getting you ready for a fabulous weekend of football action here on the Watchdog Network and pretty much everywhere as NFL gets cranked up this week. You had NFL on Thursday, and tonight you got a game from Brazil, then of course a full card of Sunday football followed by Monday Night Football. You got college football week number two. And we got high school football right here on the Watchdog. Lots of action for you tonight. Wheeling Central at Fort Fry and WKKX. John Marshall at Weirton, WVLY, and Wheeling Park at Spring Mills on WatchdogNetwork.com. And wow, we got some breaking news before we get into the crux of what we got to talk about here on Better's Last Stand. We got a massive upset about to happen here in tennis. Now, I don't want to jinx it, but it's right on the cusp as Amanda Anisimova, who I had dead and buried after her collapse at the Wimbledon, where she was just absolutely crushed by Iga Swiatek, just crushed, like thoroughly embarrassed in the final. She's on the verge. She's on match point number two right now to take out Iga Swiatek here at the U.S. Open, which is great. It's going to be a losing bet for us because we had Swiatek to win her quarter, but I'll gladly accept this defeat because I'm no fan of her. I think she's a cheater and a doper and an unlikable person, and I'm not a fan. So anyway, the American Amanda Anisimova about to take out Iga Swiatek here. She's got match point number two right now on her racket, and I believe she's double faulted. Great. So as soon as we start talking about it, that maybe the collapse is happening. It's always that last point to get is the toughest one, especially when you have never done it before. So she's on... right now, she's got a real shot here of taking out Iga Swiatek, the favorite of this tournament. So, again, I was way wrong on Anisimova. I thought she had played so much tennis that she had worn down. But, man, she's really got her body now into what I would consider to be, like, elite player-level shape. She always had the frame, but she was, like, a little overweight. And now she's, like, really, really trimmed up and slimmed up. And she's got a body type very similar to Aryna Sabalenka. So... maybe the sky's the limit for her. We always knew she had a lot of talent, but wow, she gets it. She beat her. An incredible, incredible victory, 6-4, 6-3. So that's the end of Iga. No problem with that. I'll enjoy that while it lasts. Anyway, back to business right there. So Anisimova going through to the semifinals here at the U.S. Open. All right, time to get down to business. We were up about 14.25 units last week. Not bad, not good, but we'll take it. I guess it was, you know, enough for the margin of error that we would be a small winner on the week. So we'll take it. 15 and 12 in college football, 55%. Not good enough, but still okay. IndyCar winner with Piastri. Isaac Hajar, really incredible. We gave him out as a top 10 at plus 135. Well, we could have given him out as a top 6, and we could have given him out as a podium finish. I didn't expect him to do that well, but his first ever podium, outstanding drive by the young Frenchman there. So got to like what you see out of him. IndyCar had a couple of top 10s. We had Scott McLaughlin in the top 5 and Kyle Kirkwood in the top 10. NASCAR, really, Eric Jones bailed us out. I told you his price was way out of whack last week, 80-1 for a guy who had won there two times at the Southern 500. And he gets the job done with a top 3. So a nice top 5 for Eric Jones that paid 9-1. He finished third, I should say. He was a top 5 bet. That's what we bet him at. That was at 9-1. A top 10 for him was 3-1. So that kind of saved us in NASCAR, made us a small winner there. The rest of our picks were not all that good. Soccer 6-7-1. ROI was about even, about 5 cents over even, as we gave out Sunderland with a nice winner there at plus 205. So that got us back above the juice level there to where we were loser in soccer. Tennis 3-3-1 in our U.S. Open futures so far. Make that 3-4-1 as we unfortunately lose Swiatek there, but that's okay. We got a guaranteed winner tonight, and that's what you gotta love, as you got Naomi Osaka and Karolina Mukova. We nailed Q3. We have the two finalists in Q3 playing off. Now we're gonna obviously be cheering for Mukova, who's 12-1 versus Osaka, who's 5-1, both playing good tennis, both on their way back, both getting into really good form, and both are gonna be players that come winter when the Australian Open and they get back around to the majors, they should both be in peak form by then, as their injuries and all the stuff they come back from will be completely in their past, and they should be trending towards having a really good tournament there. Now, if they don't exceed expectations here at the U.S. Open and win it here, which could happen. The pendulum continues to swing in baseball. This is amazing. The Rangers, the Giants, literally coming up from the grave, although the Giants are still not, they might have an arm out of the ground or maybe part of their head, but the Rangers might be almost fully out of the grave, literally 9 feet underground. Here come the Texas Rangers all of a sudden with some good players on the IL, so hard to figure that out, but that is good for us. We got bets on them, we got bets on the Giants, we got bets on the Reds. We're going to need the Reds to pick it up. They're both five out in the Giants in the National League, Rangers 1.5 out in the American League. Red Sox playing great baseball. I think they might win that division now. We talked about that last week. I'm really liking that. Red Sox, you can make a case that they're maybe the best team in baseball. They've lost a lot of close games, lost a lot of extra inning games. Their bullpen is a little bit leg weary. It's some nights it's pretty good, other nights it's not. So you just don't know what you're getting out of them. But they are they're going to be tough to beat. They're playing really well right now. Some good live young arms. Crochet though wasn't sharp his last outing. And then back to the tennis. You got Sabalenka and Jesse Pegula in one semifinal, and then Amanda Anisimova will await either Carolina Makova or Naomi Osaka. So good stuff there at the U.S. Open. You're going to have two really good semifinals, regardless of who wins that late match. But back to baseball. Hard to tell what's going to happen here. We have a few weeks remaining in the season. We got some live tickets. We got some good future action that we're on here. We'll continue to see how things turn out. I thought prior to last night, Garrett Crochet should have taken down the Cy Young in the American League, but he got beat around pretty good. He gave up 4 homers, but he still might be able to do it. There's a lot of teams right now that are starting to get, I don't know if it's just they've hit the wall or what have you, but the Tigers and the Mets, and just a lot of teams just playing average baseball. Even the Padres, lose one of their good relievers the other day. So still plenty to unpack there in baseball over the next few weeks. I'm sure by next week, the Rangers and the Giants will probably be back underground buried, and maybe the Reds will be back in the mix a little bit closer than 5 games. WNBA also winding down right now. You got the Storm in 7th position right now at 22-20. The Fever at 21-20. Fever in desperate times, dude. Their roster, it can't take them much further than it has with all the injuries they've had, especially Caitlin Clark. They may miss the playoffs now. And then you got the Sparks at 19-20. Sparks have the tiebreakers against both those teams. We gave out last week the Storm to miss the playoffs. And guess what happened? Right after we said it, Sparks beat them on Monday night, took them out. And that's a game that they absolutely had to have. And the Sparks, they finished with the Liberty, the Valkyries. The Storm finished with the Liberty and the Valkyries. 2 games they could absolutely lose. So I would say the Storm, a very good chance they go 22-22. And a really good chance that the Sparks, who have games in hand here, could really be in the playoffs. I think they have a home-and-home with the Dream. And I think they'll probably win one of those. They'll beat the Wings, so that's 2 wins. That gets them to 21, and then they got to beat either Mercury or the Aces to get in. And I think that's really doable. I think that the Storm are going to be out. I think the Fever may hold on, but I think the Storm are the most vulnerable team right now. So WNBA playoffs right around the corner. It's hard to really know who's the best team right now. For a while, I thought maybe it was Minnesota. I'm not so sure. I actually put a few wagers in on the Atlanta Dream a couple of weeks ago. They seem to be a pretty all-around decent team. They can defend a little bit. They can score inside and out. Home court advantage, pretty good for them, too. But it's really hard to identify. I mean, the Liberties have had some bad losses here. The Mercury have been very up and down. The Aces have played really, really well in the last month, so maybe they are back to being the team to beat. But I still see them being very vulnerable. They were not very good early in the season. I know that takes a while to get kinks worked out, but something underlying there with them that would worry me about betting them long term. So going to be curious to see how the teams match up. Valkyries are not going to be an easy first series for anybody, that is for sure. But we shall see. WNBA, MLB playoffs right around the corner. Racing playoffs started last week. But first, let's hit on the season that closed in IndyCar. It was a win for Joseph Newgarden. He had not had a very good year at all, but he outduels Alex Palou in the final race of the season at Nashville. And gets the win. So Roger Penske finishes the year. Alex Palou, the champion. And another season of IndyCar in the books here. We did all right in IndyCar this year. It wasn't a terrible season. F1-wise, again, Oscar Piastri, a nice winner for us last week with BLS here. We gave that one out. And Isaac Hadère, the nice young Frenchman. He is a very good driver.
I think he's an up-and-coming talent. I would watch out for him here in the future. The F1 boys are in Italy this weekend. Piastri, the favorite at even money. I think he's probably the car to beat. Lando Norris takes a terrible break. His engine blows late in the race there, probably costing him a shot at the championship unless Oscar Piastri has some mechanical failure or crashes in one of these next five races or so, because you got a lot of actually a very fine line there now, and now the separation is a little bit wider as Norris bowing out there with a DNF, making Piastri now the massive favorite to take home the Drivers' Championship. So I'm going to be back on Piastri this week. I think it's a good spot for him. He has not won here, but he's ran pretty well. He ran second here, led 32 laps last year. Charles Leclerc wins that race. And then he had the fastest lap here 2 years ago, and he didn't finish in the top 10. I believe he was 12th. So he had some issues. That was his rookie season. So still feeling his way along. So I think by the time now the third time comes around for him here at Imola Speedway, he probably is going to be the guy to beat. But I'm going to go back onto Isaac Kadjar again, the Frenchman, to finish in the top 10. I think you can still get him around even money or small minus price there. I think it makes a lot of sense. This guy's trending in the right direction. He is really running well. He had a great, great podium finish last week for the Visa Cash App RB F1 team, driving that Honda. Just a great performance by him. And then Alex Albon has had some sneaky decent performances here. He was fifth last week though in his Williams car, and that was in the Netherlands, but he was ninth here last year, and then he was seventh the year before that. So Alex Albon, you can find him top 10 at a -125. So definitely interested in getting down on that. May have some other things to add to the portfolio for F1, but those are where we're thinking right now as of the taping of this show. We'll watch practice and qualifying as well. All right, now to NASCAR. Playoff week number one in the books. Chase Briscoe punching his ticket to the second round. He dominated the Southern 500, 309 laps led. He was much the best for his Bass Pro Shops car and Joe Gibbs' team. So a nice performance out of him. As we said, Eric Jones, undervalued there. He turns out to be a nice price winner for us with a top five and a top 10. Touching on the playoffs, though, real quick, Denny Hamlin still the favorite along with Kyle Larson at +450 to win the championship. Brian Blaney, 5-1. William Byron, 6. Chris Bell, 750. Briscoe, 850. Elliott, 10-1. Reddick, 16-1. Joey Logano, 21. Everybody else, at least 28-1 or longer. I think Joey Logano at 21 is worth a shot here. He's got some tracks that he's pretty good at. I like the way things set up for him. And then Ryan Blaney, this stretch of tracks, the final 10, has really done well for Ryan Blaney. He is very, very good on all of them to some degree. And I think Ryan Blaney, a definite shot in here at about 5-1. Now, if he would have a bad finish this week, he'd probably get his price up even more. But I like Blaney, and I like Logano at those prices. Blaney's going to be a guy we're going to be focusing on this week, too. He's been strong in every race here at Worldwide Tech. And Worldwide Tech is a weird speedway. It's a small little speedway. It's like mile 0.25. But the way that it's shaped, it's like a almost like, not quite like a paperclip like Martinsville, but it has like a wide turn and then a narrow one. And also, it kind of reminds you of a road course in those corners, the way they come out of the corner. So you've had some road racers, some guys who've done really well road racing, do well at this track, most notably last year with Austin Cindric winning here. So there's something to be said here. You see some guys like Michael McDowell, who we're going to talk about later, and then, like I said, Cindric, AJ Allmendinger's run pretty decent here. So even though it's not the Worldwide Tech road course that some of the other racing circuits that race on, it is the Worldwide Tech Oval, still has some similarities to a road course. Favorites this week include Ryan Blaney 5-1, Chris Bell 5-1. I'm looking at Blaney. I don't usually try to take guys that are 5-1, but if I can find a 6 out there, and maybe after qualifying, he drifts up a tad, I'm going to try to lock it in with Ryan Blaney. Again, like I said earlier, he's been strong in all three races here. He led 82 laps here in 2023. He had a really good car last year and got kind of cycled out of things and didn't get the finish that he wanted. Chris Bell, another guy, led 80 laps here last year. He probably had the best car, hasn't been able to get the victory lane. He's got to be a contender. So both of those guys, kind of shorter prices, but I'm going to probably take a shot with both of them right now, especially because they're playoff drivers and they're really going to be wanting to punch their ticket into the next round. Win gets you automatically through to the next round. They cut after the first four four races, or first three races, I'm sorry. Every three races, we cut down a segment of drivers. So four guys will be cut after these first three races, with Worldwide Tech being the second one here. Other guys I'm interested in, Kyle Busch, his last win on the Cup circuit came here at Worldwide Tech. So maybe that's a good omen for him. He had a good car here in 2022. He won the race in 2023. So this is a guy who's dying to win, dying to get to victory lane, and maybe he could do it here, 20-1 on the price for him. Joey Logano, as we said, track sets up well for him. He's won here before. He's got a 3.0 average, three top fives in the three runnings here. He's 9-1. Thought that was a little bit high. Austin Cindric won here last year, 8.3 average finish for him. He won the race in 2022. And he's 16-1. I think it makes a lot of sense. So we're going to be punching Cindric. And then Michael McDowell, 150-1. He led 74 laps here total over the last couple of years. He's had a contending car. He's just had some bad luck. Either it's in the pit stops, or the way that caution come out, or he's had some bad pit stops. And, you know, that'll do you in at a track like this. The margin for error is so narrow. If Michael McDowell can put it together here, I think he's definitely a top 10 car this week. So those are the guys we're going to focus on. Blaney and Bell to potentially punch their ticket to the next round. Logano in there as well. Actually, Cindric as well, because he's a playoff driver. Kyle Busch and Michael McDowell, your longer shot guys on the board here at Worldwide Tech for the second round of the NASCAR playoffs. Also looking at Joey Logano at 20-1 and Ryan Blaney at around 5.5-1 to win the championship. All right, some other news and notes going on from around the sports betting landscape. Tennis-wise, it was a pretty good first week of the U.S. Open for us, or actually week and a half, as we punched several tickets through. 3-3-1, as we said, with our tennis bets to this point. Actually, 3-4-1s. We just lost one on the show a couple of minutes ago. But that's not going to damper our spirits, as we have that Carolina Mukova and Naomi Osaka bet that's still going through. So we've already cashed Sabalenka at even money. Quarter two for the women did not work out. We have Mukova and Osaka. At the very least, we're getting a 5-1 through there. The Q4 winner was Swiatek. That was a loser. And then we have a player from Q1 to win the tournament. I think that really sets up well now. Now that Swiatek is out, you got to think Sabalenka a very strong favorite, although very formidable opponent. She'll probably beat Jessie Pegula, but whoever she's going to have in the final, Anna Samova, or who just beat her at Wimbledon, or Osaka or Mukova, I still like Sabalenka's chances to have a little redemption there against whoever she plays. I think she'll set up well. Plenty pending still in the men. We got the Sinner Alcaraz final still on tap. That has a really good shot. We have the bottom half winner, which is very good and well intact, with Djokovic and Alcaraz still there. Djokovic wins quarter three for us, and that was a good one. We got the Sinner Alcaraz to make the final. So lots happening there on the tennis front, and may have some match picks for you too. BLS_PRP is where you're going to want to be for those. But the U.S. Open in full swing right now. You're down to your semifinals in your men's and your women's here by the weekend. So very exciting stuff. Men's final on Sunday, women's final on Saturday. So great watching there. Bad beats for the week: Penn State, Nevada. This was one that double dipped a lot of people here. I didn't have Penn State as far as the spread goes, but the late touchdown by Nevada messed up a lot of stuff. They messed up our bet here for Better's Last Stand for Nevada's point total under. At the time, it was 46-3 Penn State. The total 54.5. Penn State laying 42.5. It's sitting on 43 at that point, and it's 49. So you're thinking, all right, Penn State and under, if we could just stop them here. Well, Nevada scores with 25 seconds left, basically against Penn State's walk-ons, because Penn State's second and third team did pretty decent. Then the walk-on guys basically were in there at the end, and it kind of got away from them. Then Nevada gets the two-point try, and the final ends up 46-11. So nothing worked out well for us there. So I'm sure there's some other college football bad beats. There was a couple other ones I saw. There was a game, I can't remember the game, but a guy dropped the wide open touchdown late. But they're not any like just catastrophically terrible beats, in my opinion. Underdog Sports and Crypto.com announced a partnership that they will launch a sports predictive market exchange on the popular fantasy site. We talked about these last week. We've talked about them several weeks in a row now, these very, very popular betting exchanges now with basically stock markets for sports betting. Alabama has lost their last three games when favored by 13 points or more, an ugly showing at Florida State last week. Arch Manning, He's 18-1 now to win the Heisman. He was plus 650 before Saturday's kickoff and lost to Ohio State. And a bettor at MGM was not real happy with Arch. He bet $1 million on Texas at minus 105 on Saturday. Oh, man, tough way to lose a million when your team was really never in the game at all. So hats off Ohio State. They got they took care of business there. But both those teams will get a lot better. Not a very good first game, but both playoff teams, both teams' defense is really, really good. They'll both be in the mix for a national title, I would say. Most college football tickets taken in week one. Now, this is staggering. We talk about it every single year here on the show. The ticket counts versus the money, but the public sides, and I'm talking the landslide public sides, this is how it went in week number one. And this should teach you right there, stay the hell away from what you're hearing. If every guy, if you have 10 friends and 9 of them are on the same team, you better be the one that goes on the other side, because this is the way it turned out. Texas, plus 1.5, loss. Alabama, minus 14, loss. Straight up loss. Now, those are two straight up losses. Notre Dame, minus 3, straight up loss. Clemson, minus 4, straight up loss. Indiana, minus 24. They didn't straight up lose, but they lost. So, 4 straight up losers there. 0-5 ATS for the most tickets written on those teams last week. So you had the most tickets. That's the most popular place, not necessarily in money, but as far as ticket count goes. Texas, Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Indiana, all losers last week. Early line moves this week: Oklahoma 5.5 up to 6, Florida 18.5 down to 17. We'll talk some more about the line movements there that happened later on in the last couple of days when we go through our college football week number 2 card. Early high ticket counts for week number 2 of college football, so take note here. Now, not all these, I mean, like I say all the time, you don't blindly play these, but you go, you find some other areas of maybe certain trends or data that you say about, oh, well, I like this team for this reason, XYZ, and then you either add or cross them off. But you want to take another look after you hear this stuff. 95% of all tickets written right now on Texas, minus 36 against San Jose State. 93% of all tickets written on Rutgers, minus 15.5 against Miami of Ohio. 94% of all tickets written, Nebraska, minus 34 against Akron. 90% on Cincinnati, minus 21.5 against Bowling Green. 91% on Oregon, minus 28.5 versus Oklahoma State. Some bad blood already. Some tough words being exchanged between Gundy and Lanning in that one. So could be a little bit testy. Maybe if you could find a penalties over, which we don't even, we're not allowed to have that in West Virginia, but similar to soccer cards, if you could find it, if you're out of state and you can find penalty yardage or penalties in the game, it might not be a bad one to find for Oregon and Oklahoma State. 91% on Fresno State, plus 3 against Oregon State. So remember, take note. Look at those high ticket count teams and say, all right, do I really want to lay 36 with Texas? Do I really want to lay 34 with Nebraska? Everybody likes them. I need to try to be different here, because obviously sports books win pretty much every week. So maybe I need to be against what the main majority of the public are on. Just a teaching point. Dallas Cowboys now 60-1 to win the Super Bowl after the Michael Parsons trade, the longest shot they've been since 2014. I don't think it affects them a whole lot. They weren't going to win it anyway. So that's my opinion on the matter. NFL top ticket counts on season win totals. Some interesting ones here. 89% on the Packers over. Why am I not one of those 89%? We are under on the Packers. I am stunned how many people love the Packers. I really am. It is amazing to me how many people love the Packers and the Bengals. I don't know why. I really don't know why. But hey, I'm wrong just as much as anybody else. So maybe I will be wrong, but we shall see. 84% on the Broncos, over 9.5 wins. I'm on the other side of that one, too. Don't get it. They were terrible against good teams last year. I think they beat one team with a winning record. That should tell you something. Packers were very similar to that. 1-5 in their division, I think. Raiders, 84% of the tickets on them, over 6.5. That one I can get behind a little bit. Not loving that one. I think I gave that as maybe a small lean. 83% on the Falcons over 7.5. 82% on the Saints under 5.5. That makes a lot of sense to me. And then 80% on the Chargers over 9.5. Tough division. Good team. But, they're going to have to get some things to go right for them. Plus, the injury to Slater does not help. New York Giants, 5.5 is their win total. It's the lowest they've had in 35 years. Crazy. MGM better put up $50,000 on each of these. So, he's saying, go Seahawks. 60-1 on the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl. 28-1 for the Seahawks to win the NFC. And that was the Seahawks at 60-1 to win the Super Bowl. 28-1 they were to win the NFC. Seahawks plus 185 to make the playoffs. The same better invested $50,000 on each one of those. He can return $4.5 million should they all hit. So best of luck to that guy. That would be pretty interesting. We're liking the Seahawks this week. I don't know about to do all that, but I think they'll be a pretty good team. Most bet sides for week one here in the National Football League. Here we go. 95% of tickets written and money. I'm sorry, 95% of the money is on the Broncos. 95% minus 8. And then you got 86% of ticket count on the Broncos. 88% of the money on the Eagles minus 8. 62.5% on the Eagles. That's got to be, I think I have a typo on that one. But a lot of tickets on the Eagles. That's definitely not right. 87% on the Cardinals, minus 6.5. 83% on the ticket count for them. 83% on the Jaguars of the money, minus 3.5. 59% of the tickets on Jacksonville. So that's not as big a discrepancy. 81% on the Lions, plus 2.5. 80%, 81% of the money. 72% of the tickets written on the Lions. 76% of the money on the 49ers, minus 2.5. 51% of the tickets on the 49ers. So a little bit of a difference there. 74% of the money on the Steelers, minus 3. And 72% of the tickets written on Steelers. It was 62% on the Eagles, by the way, was the ticket count. So you can balance those things kind of out right there. Money, the sharp money over the large ticket action, usually when there's a discrepancy of the two teams. For instance, if one team has a higher ticket count and the other team has the higher money count, that usually is a sign that you might find some sharp wagering there on the money side of things. So keep that in mind as we head into week number one. All right, time to talk a little bit of football here. We got the international break in soccer, so not a whole lot of picks there. We're going to give you a few from the World Cup qualifying and that kind of stuff, some under-the-radar type games. But first, let me remind you about some games coming up after us here on the Watchdog Network. Wheeling Central at Fort Fry on WKKX, John Marshall at Weirton on WVLY, and Wheeling Park makes the trek over to Spring Mills at watchdognetwork.com. That is, you can hear them all right here. We will have the studio show following Better's Last Stand, get you ready for all three games. Myself, Jeff, Jubb, and Chris from the Watchdog Studios, and then we'll send it out to our crews on site for our various health plan games of the week here on the Watchdog Network. So thanks for tuning in here to Better's Last Stand, show number 142 here on a Friday, getting you ready for college football week number 2, NFL week number 1, and lots of other good things going on in the sports world. We were up 14.25 units last week. We got tennis, we got soccer, we got WNBA baseball, AFL finals starting up. Let's go there right now. Qualifying matchups, we talked about them last week. The number one seed, Adelaide Crows, against number 4, Collingwood. Adelaide minus 8.5 at home. The total, 160.5. Adelaide's won 9 straight games coming in to the finals here. And the home team has really dominated in this series. They've won the last 4. That's good for Adelaide. I'll be taking the Crows minus the 8.5. I wanted to find a reason to bet Collingwood, but they're just so banged up. Some of their good players, Bobby Hill included, didn't practice this week yet, and I just don't know if they're going to have enough troops. They've really struggled to score, and their midfield players are just so beat up. They just don't have what they had at the beginning of the year. They're just, the body count's too high. So we're going to go under 160.5 and play the Crows at home minus 8.5. Should be a raucous crowd there. Geelong and Brisbane, what a matchup. This one at Geelong, 6.5 is the number. Geelong laying it, 170.5. is the total. Geelong's won 6 straight too, and the home teams in this one have really played well, but I don't think it's going to matter. I think you could see Brisbane win this game for sure. There's no doubt about it. Now you got Eric Hipwood out of the game for Brisbane. Most likely he's out with a calf strain. Could be a big issue there. He's one of their best front forward players, who's a really good goal kicker. Lachi Neal is back, though, so a big one in the midfield. He kind of is the motor that makes everything go for them. I'm going to take a shot with the Lions plus the 6.5, but I think these are the two teams, the two best teams, and I think one of these two will win it. We've been giving that out here for a few weeks now, Brisbane or Geelong to win the league. 170.5 the total. I'm going to go under here. I think this will be a hard-fought game. Should be a wonderful, wonderful game here on Friday night. Elimination finals, GWS minus 3.5. At home against Hawthorne, the number 8 seed, GWS the 5. GWS has a lot of injuries, so that could be maybe a little bit of an issue for them. But and back to that Geelong game, Geelong is the healthiest team in the whole thing. I think they only have one guy on the injury report, so that may be a massive advantage for them. Injuries for GWS is like 6 pages long. They're laying 3.5 here at home. I still think they get it done. This crowd is going to be wild. This is a go-home match, whereas the Adelaide, Collingwood, Geelong, and Brisbane can all lose and still be in. GWS and Hawthorn don't have that luxury, so we're going to go GWS minus the 3.5, under 168.5. Home teams won 6 straight in the series. I think it continues here with the Giants getting the win. Frio, the number 6 seed against the number 7 Gold Coast. Frio minus 11.5, total 164. In a half here, a Saturday match here. I like Gold Coast, the 7 seed. They've been playing pretty well. They played their way into the playoffs, although it wasn't easy. I'll take the 11.5 there, and I'm going to go over 164.5. I think there'll be some points. I'm not a Frio backer. I think they've really struggled badly and don't like their chances here, despite being at home. Long trip, though, for Gold Coast to go over all the way to the west coast of Australia. So quite a journey. All right, soccer. Round soccer ball. Here we go. Colombia and Bolivia. This one a Friday kick. You might miss it. It might have already happened by the time you hear this, unfortunately. But these will be at BLS_PRP, so you'll always get them on time. We're going under 2.5. Colombia goes to Bolivia. Colombia is just going to want to get out with an easy result. This game could be 1 or 2 to nothing. Bolivia probably won't score, but it's really tough and demanding on the body to go to Bolivia. It's like 9 trillion miles above sea level. It makes Mexico City and Denver look like the beach. So Bolivia, way up in there. We talked about it on the podcast. If you watch the Pioneer podcast, we've talked about these dangerous roads in Bolivia and these places in South America where they're like death roads. Well, there's a lot of those in Bolivia, like way up on these mountaintops, and that's where the soccer stadium is. So altitude an issue there. Colombia should be a little bit used to it as they play there semi-regularly, but I go under the 2.5 there. I think the air will be tough to breathe. Sweden, plus 125 over Slovenia on Friday. Sweden's a good team. They got some really elite players. All of a sudden, there's like a golden era of Swedish football. This could be a good run for them here through these qualifying and into the World Cup. Sweden, a team to keep your eye on. They're in Group B. The favorites in that are Switzerland. But I really think Sweden at plus 150 is probably a team worth looking at to win that group in Group B of the World Cup qualifying. So take a peek at Sweden if you're looking for something like that. They have some really good. If you read through their roster, you'll recognize some of the names. Some massively big clubs in Europe own some of these guys, and they play at a high level. So I think they can outduel Switzerland. They play Slovenia here, who's not terrible, but I think they'll beat them, and then Kosovo. So I like Sweden plus 150 to win that group and plus 125 to beat Slovenia this weekend. Romania, 6-1 to win Group H. I couldn't find a price on them to advance out, which I think that they're going to make the World Cup. So I'd like to find a number on that. 6-1, not bad, though, for them to win Group H. Ireland and Hungary, both teams to score. That is a Saturday match. Like that one. Think there'll be at least 2 goals, 1 apiece in that one. And then Bosnia-Herzegovina, minus 1.25 against lowly San Marino. San Marino has been a doormat in soccer for a long time, back since the early days of FIFA on Sega Genesis. You could beat up on San Marino and Qatar. So San Marino has no shot against Bosnia-Herzegovina. So those are the soccer plays, BLS_PRP. Again, no EPL action this week as the international break. All these guys loaned out to their international club. So enjoying the international soccer this weekend. But we got other things at hand, other sorts of football. And that's where we begin right now with college football week number 2. Here we go, getting it off to an interesting start. You have some games here, some teams that will be looking to rebound after bad starts, and some who probably have to avoid letdown spots. Penn State lays 41.5 against Florida International. Don't think the Nittany Lions have much of a problem here. I'm not sure they'll score or they'll cover the 41.5. Got to worry about the backups coming in. No real play for me there. Central Michigan at Pitt. Pitt started out minus 21. That all the way up to 23.5 right now. We're high on Pitt. Can they beat up on Central Michigan? I don't know. 3 touchdowns in a little bit more than three touchdowns. I'm going to stay away from that game as well. Nothing real exciting there. Kent State at Texas Tech. Texas Tech 48, the total 58.5. Texas Tech got a lot of rave reviews after week one, but can they beat a team by 48? In this era where you got to play some of these backups so they don't transfer on you, I don't know. It's just tough to lay these big numbers. They didn't get home last week. So I would stay away from these big 40-point spreads. They just didn't get home. Georgia didn't get home. We talked about the Penn State bad beat. Got Texas Tech laying 48 here. Stay away from that stuff. There's just no reason to lay numbers. You can find better value somewhere else. Illinois at Duke. We gave this game out weeks ago. Duke to be an outright winner here against Illinois. I still like it. Duke plus 3. The total 49.5. You can find Duke around plus 125, 130. So we are on the Blue Devils. Again, we gave that one out, BLS underscore PRP, a long time ago, back when we were previewing the ACC and the Big Ten. Iowa at Iowa State, the battle for the cornfields. Iowa State Cyclones come back from Ireland after a victorious trip over there. They're laying 3 at home, the total 41.5. Could be a little bit of a letdown spot, could be a little bit of a body stone on acclimated spot. So far, these teams who have come back from those European first games, even if they sit a week, have been very lethargic the following game. So I would lean Iowa here. No official play. I still don't know about the Hawkeyes. It's hard to bet them. Virginia Cavaliers at the NC State Wolfpack. It'll be the Wolfpack minus 2.5. Total 55. This is a game that I do have some interest in. NC State, we had East Carolina against them last week. East Carolina could have arguably won that game. I think NC State stinks. I think they stink at everything. Maybe they won't be at basketball anymore because they got Will Wade, but they could be dangerous eventually. But I like Virginia here. Good showing by Virginia. We had that Coastal Carolina-Virginia game over. We got zero help from Coastal Carolina. Virginia did their part, more than did their part. I like the Cavaliers here to maybe win this game outright. We'll take the 2.5. Baylor at SMU. Game open. SMU minus 4. Down to 2.5 right now. I'm not really sure why. I saw nothing to like out of Baylor. Very disappointed in Baylor's performance, but we told you late the public action was coming in on Baylor, and I even highlighted it on the BLS underscore PRP when I posted the picks that the public was way too much on Baylor, so I ended up getting off of Baylor, but nonetheless, it was not a good performance by Dave Aranda's team. SMU, still feeling their way out. A lot of new guys there. Don't really have a play on this game, but I thought it was very interesting that the line was moving towards Baylor in that game. UConn at Syracuse. Syracuse opened 8.5, down to 6.5. I thought Syracuse played a pretty good game. Offensively, they're good. Defensively, they're an atrocity. So I like over in this game. I think 58.5 is not nearly enough points. UConn scored some points last week. So I think you'll see Syracuse score into the 40s in this game. And I think UConn will probably be in the high 20s. I lean Syracuse, but I could see UConn backdoor touchdown in here if this is around a touchdown to lose the game by, you know, 5-6, somewhere in that range. I think it'll be one of those games where Syracuse is kind of up a score and a half almost the whole game, but you could see UConn cover it late. So I'm not going to play the orange in the Carrier Dome or whatever it's called now, but I'm going to go over the total here. I think it'll be a lot of points. San Jose State at Texas. Texas 36.5. A lot of play on Texas. We talked about the ticket count. Very, very high. Money count very, very high. Probably a bounce back, get well game for Texas and Arch Manning here. They'll probably want to cover the spread just for some momentum. I'm not going to play it though. 36.5 is just outrageous. Bowling Green at Cincinnati. Cincinnati opened 18, up to 21.5. Not certain Cincinnati's as good as everybody thinks. I think Nebraska just might not be very good. I would be tempted to play Cincinnati here, but I can't lay 21.5, even though they do have a very good home field advantage. Next game, Troy at Clemson. Clemson 33.5. 51.5 is the total. Clemson, can they bounce back? They were not good at home last week. I think Klubnik and the boys probably do. I lean Clemson in this game, but I don't want to lay 33.5. I might go Clemson first half here. I might play a few of these larger games the spreads in the first half, just because I don't trust them late in games. I don't know what Dabo Sweeney's got in mind. I don't know if he's going to want to run the score up here to make himself feel better. I'm not sure. So maybe Clemson first half, but I do think they win the game pretty easily. Delaware Fighting Blue Hens at the Colorado Buffaloes. Buffaloes laying 23.5. Sharp money on Colorado, and I'm on Colorado too. I think Colorado is actually a little bit better than people think. They're not getting the hype that they did with all the big-name players that they had last year. Of course, they still have Dion. So I think Coach Prime has a nice win here. He probably wins this game by about 4 touchdowns. 23.5 is about all the more that I want to lay in any of these games. UAB at Navy. I was going to be on Navy here, but I saw some sharp play coming in on UAB, which made me think, why is that? Well, UAB's got a pretty good team. They got a pretty good coach. They're catching 21 here, but I do like Navy. I think Navy's a good team. I started to think about the over here, but then Betting the service academies, although Navy can throw it a little bit over 60, it seems a little high. So I'm passing on this game with a small lean to UAB just to maybe cover if you can get three touchdowns and the hook. Texas State, Texas San Antonio. San Antonio minus 4.5, the total 65.5. I have a small lean to UTSA here. This was a team that we were high on at the beginning of the season, so we'll take a shot with the Roadrunners. Miami Redhawks at the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. We talked about the Rutgers Scarlet Knight ticket count. Very, very high. Minus 15.5 they are at home. Total 46.5. And the Scarlet Knights had a really close game with OU, the team that West Virginia plays this week. So that's kind of intriguing. Best offensive performance I've seen out of Rutgers in some time. Miami of Ohio lost 17-0 to Wisconsin last week and was not very impressive. I do got to take the Scarlet Knights here. I think they'll win this game. I will side with the public on it, and as much as that pains me. Ole Miss at Kentucky. This is a game I'm very interested in. This is a massive revenge spot for Ole Miss, who's laying 10 on the road. 15.5 is the total. If you remember Ole Miss, they're right in the playoff mix. They're safely in. All they got to do is take care of the games that they need to take care of. They're going to be favored in them all, and they go and play Kentucky, and they lose. And they really were never even in the game. So I think Lane Kiffin's going to be really pissed off, and I think he's going to come out and he's going to be looking for some redemption. Not that that's going to assure them of any playoff berth this year, but I think Ole Miss will take care of business here. I was not impressed with Kentucky. We were against them last week. Toledo covered against them and really played them tough enough that they could have probably won the game. So I'll be on Ole Miss here. Ole Miss picked it up pretty well in the second half, covered last week for us. So I'm going with the Rebels on the road, minus the 10 in a massive revenge game against Kentucky. Some more bad blood here. Kansas at Missouri. This border war is crazy. These teams hate each other. They don't play all the time, which is weird. They should always play. Missouri minus 6, the total 51. I am on the Tigers. I think they got a good program. I was not impressed with Kansas whatsoever. They do nothing for me. The Lance Leipold experiment has dried up, in my opinion. I think Kansas, one of the vastly, if you want to call them overrated, but they're getting way too much hype. Sorry, Coach and Nick. I don't love this team at all. I'm on Missouri minus the 6. West Virginia at Ohio. Curious game here. This game opened 2.5 Mountaineers, went all the way up to 4, back to kind of settled at 3.5. Total 57, up to 60.5. That's where I was interested in, but now it's 60.5. I'm a little bit concerned. Ohio gave up a lot of points last week to a not-so-great offense, or at least they're not known to be great. WVU scored a little bit in the second half. I think this is a tricky game. A lot of people were saying that line's too low. WVU will kill them. I wouldn't be so sure. The Pitt's on deck. That's a spot where you could get caught looking ahead if there ever was one. So I think you've really got to be cautious if you're Rich Rodriguez in the Mountaineers. Ohio's going to be ready for this game. I'm kind of sitting this out. I might play Ohio. I'm going to take a peek in play maybe and see how things go along. Leaning towards the over in the game, though, pre-flop. So if I'm going to play anything before this game starts, it's going to be the over, but I got to see where that total settles in. I'm hoping we'll tick down a tad before that. But I think the Mountaineers will be in for a little bit more difficult of a game than we think. South Florida crushed Boise last week. They're getting all kind of play now. Florida is the host here. They lay 17.5. This game opened, I believe, like around 20 or 21. It got bet all the way down to 16 at one point before it came back to 17.5 with some buyback on Florida. So the big beating of South Florida, beating up on Boise State, does that mean that South Florida is very good, or maybe Boise is just not very good? So I don't know. Didn't have a real opinion in that one. This quarterback for Florida is getting a lot of hype here, but he's played nobody, and I'll be shocked if he's still in the mix for any accolades by the end of the year. Looks like we got another, maybe an Anthony Richardson situation on our hands. Army at Kansas State. Will Kansas State have a hangover after the Irish game? They lost that game. They lost a couple of good players. Army always kind of stable, though they didn't look great last week. I like over 46.5 in this game. I think there'll be some points. I think Army will run the ball a little bit on Kansas State, who's going to come out maybe a little bit foggy in the brain early on. I think Army could have some decent touchdown drives, some big play, chunk plays early in the game. Western Kentucky Hilltoppers got it done for us back in week 0. They are at the Toledo Rockets. They'll be catching 7 in this game. I like them. I like the 7. I think they'll have a shot on winning this game. Toledo, I'm not certain they're very good. We did have them last week against Kentucky, but I think that's more about Kentucky being just so-so. So we will be on Western Kentucky plus the points, 7 o'clock on Saturday against Toledo. Houston and Rice. I only mention this game because the total is like an NFL total. 39. Houston lays 14 on the road, total 39. So maybe a big defensive battle there. Don't have enough data yet to assess what I like to do in that game. Boston College Eagles at the Michigan State Spartans. It will be the Spartans minus 3.5. The total, 46. This down from the opener of 48.5. Eileen BC plus the field goal should be a pretty good game. Evenly matched game. We had Michigan State game under on last Friday night, so that was a nice winner for us. This could potentially be another under two, but it's down to 46 now. We're going to sit that one out. Louisiana Tech at LSU. LSU, the big win at Clemson last week. They lay 37.5, another massive number here. I'm going to be taking Louisiana Tech here to have a shot of covering that 37.5. We're going to go over the 51-2. I do think there'll be some points. I think LSU's offense will play a little bit better. They're going to be wanting to get some things clicking because they didn't play all that great last week. Defense was pretty good, but we'll see if that was bad offense by Clemson or good defense by LSU. That remains to be seen. Vanderbilt at Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech minus 1 in Blacksburg. Total 47.5. This Hokie team looked terrible against South Carolina. Now, South Carolina was a team who last year was their year. I don't think they're quite as talented, but maybe they are. I didn't see a whole lot of Virginia Tech. I thought they were awful in that game. They got a safety. That's about that was about the extent of their offense. A couple of special teams plays. But I don't like this team at all. I'm on Vanderbilt. I think they win this game outright in Blacksburg. Blacksburg no longer the fortress it once was. Michigan at Oklahoma. Oklahoma lays 5, total 46. I got to go with Michigan in this game. I think it's going to be a very tight one. I think this is a field goal game. I like Oklahoma this year. I think they're pretty good. I like McTeer, the quarterback. He's good. McTeer, Michigan, Underwood, not bad in his first game. Thought their defense was a little bit weird. Gave up some strange broken plays and some blown coverages. I think Michigan will bounce back here. I like the under 46 in this game, and I'm going to take the Wolverines plus the 5. I think Oklahoma might win this game. I like a field goal, but it's going to be very, very tight. Georgia Southern Eagles at the USC Trojans. Trojans minus 28.5, total 62. Sharp money on USC. This opened 27, all the way up. Actually, I said 28.5. It's up to 29 now, so two-point move there. Again, do you want to lay that giant number? Maybe you do. Maybe Lincoln Riley needs to win by like 50 every week to make people not hate him. So maybe USC's worth a shot there at the 29 with the sharp action coming in. Louisiana Monroe at Alabama. Alabama minus 36.5 at home, total 50.5. Callum DeBoer is about to get run out of town here. He's going to need some style points too. Sharp money on Alabama. Can't back it. Maybe Alabama first half. We can cut that number down a little bit. Maybe they come out flying, but just an uninspired performance. They just looked so average and just not good. Don't know if Florida State was that good. I think it was more Alabama just stunk. UCLA at UNLV. Two teams are not very impressive so far. UCLA opened to 1.5-point favorite, now up to 3.5 on the road. And I am on the Bruins. I bet the Bruins at minus 1.5. Now it's 3.5. I'd still take them. I'd still take them probably 6 or under. I think they're a little bit better here. I still think this team doesn't have a lot of talent, but I think they're well coached. I think they play hard, and I think they'll beat UNLV. Tulsa and New Mexico State, no play there. Tulsa lays 3.5 on the road, total 52.5. San Diego State and Washington State, this one opened the Cougars minus 3. It's down to 1.5. I do like the over in this game. I think both these offenses could be decent, so we'll go over 45. I think maybe you didn't see the very best of them yet, but I think they're going to be a little bit better this week offensively, so we'll go over 45 there. It was also a small move from sharp money players to the over here, so I like that quite a bit. Stanford and BYU, we're going to go under 46 in this game. BYU lays 18.5 at home. Not impressed with these two offenses at all. Stanford runs a caveman type offense. Just the time where the Dead Sea Scrolls were prepared was the same offense that Frank Reich is running. So I'll go Stanford BYU under the 46. I think that's a very low scoring game. Probably something like 22. I can't even give Stanford 17. They Stanford might not break 10 here, so maybe team total under on Stanford as well. Sam Houston at the Hawaii Rainbow Warriors in the Get Out game, 12 midnight on a Saturday or Monday or Sunday morning, I guess is the more accurate term. Rainbows were 9.5 in this game, down to 6.5. Sam Houston makes the trek over. I would probably lean the Bearcats. They're not bad. They're pesky, and man, Hawaii's looked really bad. They're 1-1, but they probably should be 0-2. So we'll lean the Sam Houston Bearcats if they can, not enjoy themselves too much out there at Waikiki Beach during the day, because that could be a problem. When one add-on game, a lot of the, remember the smaller games where the bigger opponents are playing, the lesser teams aren't out yet. Lines usually coming out late Thursday, early Friday. So anything I want to add there, I'll add it. BLS underscore PRP. There was a couple of games that I was interested in, so I'll probably have a couple add-ons. But one game that was late to the card after the Monday night performance by UNC and TCU. Oh, and it was ugly. Bill Belichick, oh my Lord. He just might not be able to get it done anymore. North Carolina minus 19. That's all the way down to 13 as they go to Charlotte, who was just as bad. Charlotte, who we had an under in the game against App State, was an atrocity. They couldn't get a first down. I think they ended up with 11 points. Awful performance. If North Carolina can't beat this team, Belichick probably should just resign right there. Sad state of affairs there around this area of North Carolina from Charlotte to Chapel Hill. These two football programs, very poor early season showings. And then one number to keep an eye on for next week's game, Pitt. Mountaineers were minus a field goal in this game early on over the summer. Pitt now 2.5 in the backyard brawl for next week. So keep an eye on that. We gave Pitt out weeks ago, plus that field goal. So I don't think we're going to need it, but you never know. In the backyard brawl, that is next week. NFL action. Dallas and Philly were kicking it off last night. The Micah Parsons-less Cowboys, how did they do? Well, you know more than I know at this point, so let's hope for a good game at least. Kansas City and the Chargers tonight, that in Sao Paulo. Last four between these two teams have went under the total. Last year's Brazil game, I liked the game under, but bad footing led to a couple of really big touchdowns. So I'm going to have to get a better field report. I lean to the under again, but I'm a little worried about the footing here. So I'm honestly very conflicted on this game. I don't know what to do. It's the international series. It's at Corinthians Arena in Sao Paulo. Turf was awful last year, so that is a worry. I got to get some more data on the turf before I make a play on this game. But the last four under in the series between these two teams, but none of them were played at Corinthians Arena. And what I always say about soccer fields, and keep this in mind for NFL Europe and for wherever we play overseas this year, that the turf that they have is not made for 300-pound and 350-pound guys to be making speed cuts on and so forth. Soccer players are, you know, between 150 and 180 pounds of sheer muscle and no fat, and they're running mostly straight lines, some cutting side to side, of course, but not to the degree of in the weight and the massive weights that some of these guys are. So the pitches could get torn up if they're not in very, very good shape and the roots aren't very deep. So keep that in mind. Sometimes unders are very good in these games. Sometimes they cannot be because of the footing. On to Sunday's card here on Bettors Last Stand, show number 142. Here on the Watchdog Network, getting you ready for NFL week number one. But don't forget, high school football action coming up right after us. We got the pregame show from the Watchdog Studio. Central and Fort Fry follow that. John Marshall at Weir, Wheeling Park at Spring Mills. Central on WKKX, John Marshall on WVOY, Wheeling Park on WatchdogNetwork.com, WatchdogNetwork.com. Of course, where you want to be for Football Friday, presented by Gumby's and Jill's Gentlemen's Club. You heard all that action earlier today with Shane and Bob and Bear kicking it off with the good old boys, then us out at Gumby's, and then the Bettors Last Stand show, followed by the pregame, and then we get you out to your health plan game of the week. All right, let's get through these games right now. Some interesting things going on here. Let me go through a few trends for you. Home division dogs in week one since 2008 are a outstanding 77%, 24-7. So teams that meet that criteria, again, home division dogs in week one since 08, 24-7, that would be the Browns, the Falcons, the Bears, and the Seahawks. Well, I'll let you know when we get to those each of those games who were on, and some of that probably played a role in why we're on that team. Division away teams, week one off of the three wins to end their season last year, 4-13. Those two plays against this week would be the Cincinnati Bengals and the Detroit Lions. So again, that's divisional away teams in week number one, when they won their last three games in the regular season to end the previous year. That would be the Lions, and the Bengals will be plays against this week. Division away dogs, whose opponent is on Thursday night football the following week. A 31-5 run in those games. So those would be plays on the Lions. So you had a, against the Lions, and then you balance it out with a play on the Lions. And then the New York Giants against Washington this week. So play on the Giants. New coaches on away dogs, 60% in week one. That would be Pete Carroll and the Las Vegas Raiders. Dan Campbell, coach of the Detroit Lions, 66% cover rate last year. Tops in the league. And then our final trend that I thought was very interesting, dogs of 6.5 points or more, 49-27 in week one since 2006. And then dogs in week one ATS have only been under 500. That's it, all the dogs. That's counting every dog for the last 19 years. There's only been one week one where the underdogs went under 500 ATS. So that tells you, you blindly play the dogs for the last 19 years. Every dog on the card, you've been at least a game ahead. Now, maybe that would offset your juice. Maybe you'd still be a small loser. Maybe you'd be a small winner, depending on if you played the money line or how things were juiced. So, that, I mean, that's a pretty strong trend right there. So there's only been one week in 19 years where the underdogs weren't at least a 500 record in week number one. And then dogs of 6.5 or more, 49-27 in week one since 06. So remember, when you're getting ready to go to the window and lay these big favorites, just remember that. Or you're playing your Survivor and all that other kind of stuff. All right, final part here, Bettor's Last Stand. We got a couple minutes left. Let's run through the NFL card, week number one. These are the Sunday games. We touched a little bit on the other games earlier in the week. Miami at Indianapolis, a pick, 46.5. Dolphins are getting a lot of flack, but I still think Tua is a pretty good quarterback when he's healthy, and he's against a bad team. And the Dolphins have played very good against bad teams. I like the Dolphins here to win this game at Indianapolis. I think it's indoors. Conditions will be good. Should be a fast track. Miami should be able to make enough plays to win this game. I like Miami Dolphins. New York Giants, division game at the Washington Commanders. We had a play on the Giants earlier with the division dogs whose opponent won the final three games of last season. That would have been the Redskins. Redskins laying 6 here. I'll be on the Giants. I think their defense is very good. I'm not saying the Skins won't win this game, but it might be by a field goal. Dan Quinn, 0-3 in week one, his last three times as a head coach. So that could be a problem. 4 of the last 6 under in this series. I like the under here. I think that Giant defense is going to be very, very tough to block. I think they make some plays, and I think this is a low-scoring game where Washington probably wins it something like 20-17. So we take the Giants, and we take the under. Vegas Raiders at the New England Patriots. A lot of people liking both sides of this one. Still a little early for me. What I do know is these are two coaches that love to run the football. I'm on the 43.5 under. Vrabel and Pete Carroll, they're going to run it. They're going to try. They both got new running backs they're going to want to try out. I think this is a low-scoring game. Probably a pretty tightly contested game. So we're going to go over under 43.5, New England and Las Vegas. Arizona at New Orleans. Everyone in the world is playing Arizona here, -6.5. I just don't know how you can lay 6.5 with this team on the road. Arizona, an all right team, but they're not a team that should be laying 6.5 on the road. I kind of lean to the under here, but sometimes these teams are used to play each other a lot more than they do now. I feel like some of these games could be explosive. I'm sitting this game out. I don't know what to expect there. Both sides worry me to some degree. Cincinnati at Cleveland. Cincinnati 1-11 in the first 2 weeks of the season under Zach Taylor. Well, I think it continues here. I think the Browns win this game. I think the Browns cover the 5.5 or 6. We gave that out a while ago as the Browns being a dangerous team. They've given Burrow a lot of trouble. Ironically, 4 of the last 5 between these two have stayed under the total. So don't think this is some shootout where the Bengal defense is the problem. It's the Browns defense that has been a problem for Cincinnati. And you also had a trend on Cincinnati division away dogs off of a 3-game winning streak to end last season. They're 4-13, so not good. And then you had to play on the Browns division dogs since 08 at home, 24-7. That says play Cleveland. So we're on Cleveland in that one. Tampa at Atlanta, another division game. It'll be Tampa -2.5, total 47.5. I lean the Falcons here, but I don't love anything about this. I probably would say that there should be some points in this game. So I'm going to go over 47.5, even though I don't like to do that in division games. But both these teams, to me, seem more offensively oriented than defense. Pittsburgh at the Jets. We gave this one out weeks and weeks and weeks, even before Aaron Rodgers was the quarterback. I think the under in this game, 38.5. I think this is a low scoring game. I think both these teams will struggle to run the ball. I think both teams' passing games will struggle a little bit. Now, the Steelers just don't have any real weapons other than DK Metcalf, in my opinion. Their running game is a massive question mark. Their defense will be good. Justin Fields Fields is so bad. I would lean Steelers here, but this would be a game that wouldn't surprise me if the Jets somehow beat them the way the Steelers play football lately. But we go under the 38.5. Carolina at Jacksonville. Jacksonville, 3.5 the total. 47. Lawrence just 10-11 in as a home favorite. That's not pretty. So I'll be passing on this game. I want to say I think there could be some points here. I have a small lean to the over of the 47. Tennessee at Denver. Bo Nix last year, 12-5 ATS, not bad. And then look at this stat. This says bad news here. And everybody in the world is going to pick Denver and Survivor, so beware. Rookie quarterbacks in week one, 8-21 straight up, 13-14-2 ATS. Cam Ward could be in 40, catches 8 here, 42.5 is the total. I would say if I had to make a play in this game, it would be the under 42.5 with Denver's defense being pretty good against a rookie quarterback. San Francisco at Seattle. San Fran land 2.5 on the road. I don't understand that one at all. 43 is the total. I'm not a San Fran lover. I'm not a San Fran hater. I think they'll be right on the cusp of playoffs. I think they got some guys that are getting a little old, so I think that could be a little bit of an issue. I like Seattle plus the 2.5 at home there in that division game. Houston at the Rams. Rams minus 3, total 44.5. Rams a pick to go very far for us all the way to the Super Bowl. We will go under 44.5 here. I think probably a low scoring, good defensive battle, two good defenses. We'll probably lean Houston if I had to take a side. And then a game I really, really love, Jared Goff, 8-0 ATS in week one. The number on this game, crazy to me. The Lions now plus 2.5 because of the Micah Parsons deal. 3 of the last 5 over in this series, but I like the Lions a lot here. I think they win this game outright. I am so anti-Green Bay. I think the Lions are just a much better team, better coached, better everything. Give me the Lions minus a 2.5. Goff again, 8-0 in week one ATS. Baltimore at Buffalo. I like Baltimore here. Baltimore has played very well against Buffalo. Lamar Jackson, 10-3 as a road dog. He catches 1 here, total 50.5. Good game, both good teams, but Baltimore just a little bit better roster than Buffalo. I think they take care of business. And then the final game, Minnesota at Chicago. I'm on Chicago here. I would love to see this be able to creep up to like 3. I don't think it's going to. 4 of the last 5 under between the two. I think there might be some points though. I don't know. But I like the Bears to win this game outright at Soldier Field. Don't think a rookie quarterback, even though he's a second year, it's still technically a rookie. He hasn't played. Laying points on the road makes no sense to me. I'll be taking the Chicago Bears. Probably Bears and under, as Champ would say. But Bears it is. So, again, my favorite plays of the week, Detroit and New York Giants and the Seattle Seahawks, Ravens, Bears. I like all of them quite a bit. So, again, BLS underscore PRP is where these will all be posted here. NFL Week 1 is upon us. And that is going to do it for us here on Bettor's Last Stand, show number 142, coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling. High school football pregame show is next. That'll be followed by Wheeling Central at Fort Fry, John Marshall at Weirton, and Wheeling Park at Spring Mills. WatchdogNetwork.com is where you want to be. We will see you next week. Best of luck in your football bets. Best of luck in all your wagering action. Enjoy the high school football, and we will see you next week here on Bettor's Last Stand. Thanks for listening to The Watchdog.